Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we talk about some of the big titles from Gamescom. That and Sony finally puts a ring on it with their purchase of Insomniac. Plus, we just can't wait to be king with the Lion King and Aladdin collection announcement. This is Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up, I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and as always, we will be going into, what we've been playing.
And I'll start it off again, as always here.
Yes.
Yes.
Top on the list.
Yes. Yeah, so we're finally back here. Just going back to just that we're finally back, and our website has been down, so we do apologize there for that. But there was major security issues with our website. So our website was down. So we do apologize there for that. So now we're finally back and we're all prepped up to go here. And again, yes. It's what I've been playing here. So yes. With that being said, yes, I've been playing actually let me tell you something here I just recently played. Before we actually started a podcast. So I was playing the Jackie Chan fighting game on my arcade cabinet. And
Jackie Chan fighting game?
Yes. So Jackie Chan had a few fighting games that came out in arcade. So what I started playing my usual Marvel versus Capcom, my Marvel versus Street Fighter on my Arcade 1-Up modded machine. And I'm like, oh, let me go ahead and see what else, you know, I have here on my my modded RetroPie machine. And Jackie Chan has a freaking fighting game, guys. And he is... Out of the whole cast, he has three character slots, by the way. Different eras of Jackie Chan. You have, like, the
drunken. That's so weird.
Is there Drunken Master Jackie
yes,
Chan?
Yes, correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I was like, that had to have been a Drunken Master Jackie Chan.
So, there was three different eras of Jackie Chan. And I was playing it, and I was like, oh, okay. Let's see what this is all about. And, yeah. It's a very funny game because it's kind of like a digitized like the original Mortal Kombat there, and there's actually fatalities in the game, by the way.
What?
Yeah, so there's actually fatalities in the game, and guess what? Jackie Chan has no, like, you can't kill Jackie Chan, so his fatality, like when someone else does a fatality to him, it just pretty much shows it, and like he's just getting beat up or he's getting like dragged across the floor. He has like you could do like an animality on him, if that's what you want to call it. You could do an animality on him. You could like turn him into like a I forgot what it was, like a chicken or something. But yeah, you can't kill Jackie Chan in this game. So he has three characters. You can't kill him. Everybody else could get killed. Like if you play as Jackie Chan and you go ahead and defeat an opponent, you could do, again, like a fatality. Jackie Chan could kill someone, but you can't kill Jackie Chan. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Like, Jackie Chan could, like, literally, like, rip someone in half with an uppercut. And when you do, yeah, when you do that to Jackie Chan himself, it actually doesn't work. Like, he just gets, like, thrown across the screen. Or he gets, like, thrown into the screen and the screen cracks. By the way, if anyone wants to look for the game, it's called Jackie Chan in the Fist of Fury, in the Fist of Fire, I'm sorry, and Jackie Chan the Kung Fu Master. So there's actually two games where he's in. So Jackie Chan the Kung Fu Master, he's not in the game as a playable character. Like, he's like the boss in Jackie Chan the Kung Fu Master. In Jackie Chan Fist of Fury, that's where you can actually play as Jackie Chan. Yeah.
It's just like so absurd. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's real weird, but I just like decided just to like let's go ahead and see what this RetroPie actually has in store, because I'm usually on the Capcom games myself. So I'm usually playing like Third Strike on my arcade 1-up machine, or X-Men vs. Street Fighter, or Marvel vs. Street Fighter, any of the versus games pretty much. But yeah, I saw Jackie Chan and I'm like, oh, let's go ahead and try this. And yeah, pretty much Mortal Kombat with Jackie Chan, but Jackie Chan can't get killed. So yeah, that's something I just recently played, and this is like literally right before we started recording here. So that's an interesting, that was very interesting there, and I'm probably going to go back to it just to see what else I could discover about that Jackie Chan game. But what I've been playing there on my Switch, I actually got Dragon Quest Builders 2 on the Switch, and this is like my new jam so far, and it's pretty entertaining, pretty relaxing, I guess. Again, I really don't like open world games, but this game is more like Minecraft with an actual story and an RPG element to it. So I'm actually just like enjoying the story. Like, there's actually like checklists to like story missions, and I'm like, okay, perfect. Like, it's giving me things to do. You know, I'm doing this and that. I'm like building stuff. One thing I noticed myself doing too, and I guess this is like for the sake of survival in the game, I'm just like literally like bashing everything and trying to get the material from it. Even though I'm in a section there where they actually took away my starting material, I'm like just bashing everything away, just hitting blocks, just trying to collect material for it, overstocking on food, because in Dragon Quest Builders, like, you have to eat food there for like stamina. So it's a pretty interesting game. It's very it's Minecraft pretty much, but with a story and I guess with a purpose. I guess I feel like you know, the times that I play Minecraft, I like doze off. And as you guys know, like, I'm really not a big open world type of guy. More like some open world games just really, they just bore me because of the transportation. Like Spider-Man, I really, really enjoyed. Anything with like good transportation options, I really, really enjoy. And I guess that's considered like superpowers. In that sense. But yeah, Dragon Quest Builders, you know, it's not too big, it's not too small, open world checklist, so it's doing everything well, and they added multiplayer into the game, which I haven't dove into, but I definitely have seen different things there in multiplayer, because they give you like a vision board in that sense, where you could like view other people's like worlds and creations, and it's actually like inspiring me to like, you know, go ahead and create like, you know, a massive like castle or something, or achieve something like crazy in that sense, and not worry about the story. So that's a pretty cool feature there. Yeah, but I've been definitely enjoying it, and it's hitting a spot there for me. Again, me with open world games, I'm not. It's like oil and water there. So yeah, it's definitely hitting a spot there where like I'm appreciating the open worldness in that sense, but I am also being very I'm being a resource hog. In that sense, I'm just whacking things away.
Kind of what you're supposed to do, right?
I guess, yeah. I'm like whacking everything. I'm like whacking freaking things I don't need to whack. Like, I'm like hammering things down, and I'm just collecting things, putting them in like treasure chests, and just like storing things. So pretty much, you could call me like I'm like gearing up for the zombie apocalypse in Dragon Quest. In that sense, so. But yeah, I'm enjoying it because of that. I'm enjoying it because it's like very, very like strict in terms of missions. So it's like directing you there. So I'm enjoying it there. And yeah, that's all I've been playing, like, really. So I'm just gonna continue playing that. But very, very excited about it. It gives me the best of both worlds with the RPG and I guess like a Stardew Valley sort of a feel. So definitely enjoying that. Yeah, but that's all I've been playing too. And also, you know, more Street Fighter, obviously. Like,
obviously.
Yeah, bits and pieces. So, but yeah, that's all I've been playing there. And yeah, Joey, what have you been playing? Like,
pretty much the past week and a half, just strictly just playing Control. And the review is up on the site. You can go check that out. It's a really, really good game. I kind of missed the Alan Wake phase when it came out, but everybody loved those games.
Yeah, they were all right.
What do you mean they were all right?
Everybody else makes it sound like amazing.
Alan Wake was amazing. I'm sorry. Alan Wake was amazing.
It was not amazing.
Yes, it was.
It had good atmosphere, but it was very lacking in story and gameplay.
Really? I thought it was amazing.
Like, I would be okay with a sequel. But like, it was fine. It was fine. That's all I can say. It was fine.
No, I thought it was amazing, and yeah, like I enjoy Remedy. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy any bit of Remedy.
I mean,
Max Payne, come on, like they made it good stuff.
And they based Max Payne off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
There's even like a little Easter egg in Alan Wake where
is it?
Sam Lake does he's on a talk show and they're like, "Hey, do the face." So he does the face and
he looks like Max Payne, yeah.
yeah, cuz it's like that's a live action segment. It's weird. But yeah.
But that's what I like about Alan Wake, that, you know, it was just weird. Like, we need more things like that, and I'm guessing, like, Control's weird.
Control is, it's very weird. I mean, it kind of reminded me of, like, X-Files or, like, a Fringe type. It's just crazy. It goes all over the place. But the lead character, Jesse Faden, I don't know. She's, like, kind of cocky in a way, like, her internal dialogue, which is, like, really cool.
So, like, Lara Croft. Like, old Lara Croft.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Like, just watch some videos and you'll see it. Like, people will be saying something and then, like, she'll quip, like, man, are these people crazy or what? It's like, it's exactly what you're thinking at that time, you know? But, so, like, the quick synopsis of Control, you go to the Bureau of Control, naturally, Federal Bureau of Control, and they're in this place called Oldest House, and it's letting out these things called hiss that are coming through and they're altering objects. One of the missions is hilarious. Not too big a spoiler, but you see this guy staring at a fridge, and if he looks away, the fridge will just go out of control, like an actual just normal fridge, you know? So this guy's like freaking out. He's like, I can't stop looking. And then the person who gave him that job to do that, he forgot he was there, and he's been there a whole day just, like, staring at a fridge. So right as you go to save him, the doors lock, and then the fridge eats this guy. And then you have to cleanse the object. That's kind of what you do as a director.
Wait, the fridge eats the guy?
Yeah. It doesn't show, but I think so, yeah. There's, like, blood on the floor. And then if you stand next to it, it'll start hurting you. But once you touch it to cleanse it, it takes you to the astral plane. In the astral plane, that's like a world between worlds, and
that sounds like
there's
X-Men.
A huge monster you have to like kill, and you can use all your powers. Like, you have telekinetic powers, you have the ability to drop a shield. One thing you'll notice if you look at any videos, like, the particle effects are insane. Which kind of is sometimes unfortunate, especially I've heard on the base PS4. I didn't have this issue on PS4 Pro, but apparently the frame rate drops like really bad on the base PS4.
Now, you know, what I hear just from you saying it was an amazing game there, just from the review itself, you know, I'm hearing just like a lot of like pushback saying that this game actually came a gen too early. Do you think that's like the case with this game?
No, I mean, everybody says that about so many games, I feel like. No, I mean, I think people just say that because, I mean, it doesn't have the best frame rate. The only areas, which is weird because today, I actually played it today and I had issues elsewhere. But before was when you'd finish a mission, like a trophy would pop, you'd get items, and then it would like complete the trophy on the checklist. It would micro freeze there. And then after coming out of a pause, but anywhere else it was fine. But for some reason today, like every other like fight I went into, it like the frame rate dropped, not a lot, but you can definitely notice it. So like, I don't know if it's like, because I've just been putting in rest mode for so long, like the past like 4 days on that game, maybe if I restart it, it won't have that issue. Because like when I was playing it for review, I'd always shut it off. Like actually exit out of control. So I'm not sure. It was weird though, but outside of that, like, I don't know, there's so much lore packed into this game, and it's funny, it's, you know, thrilling, obviously, and the puzzles are hard, but they're not impossible, which there's like a really fine line of a good puzzle. It's either too easy where it doesn't make sense to have one, mm-hmm. or it's too hard where you have to look up a wiki like almost every time. So yeah. It does a good job of building on itself, so if you want to, if you like sci-fi type stuff, and that sounds like your jam, you should definitely get it. It's really good.
Yeah, and you could definitely, like, look at the website there. We do have that review up, so it's definitely yep. something to go ahead and check out.
But yeah. yeah, outside of the frame rate, I guess it reviewed really well everywhere. What was it, like an 84, 85 on Metacritic, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely the biggest title in the summer. One of the biggest. Late summer.
Astral Train.
I kind of feel like it's not at all.
It's
more of like a,
it's a sleeper hit.
A cult classic,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, it's a
sleeper hit. Yeah, it's like a B tier game, kind of, where it's like it doesn't have like a huge push,
but
you know, yeah. a lot of people are gonna play.
But yet again, not even a B tier game, because it's, you know, just what Joey is saying there, like it's actually like real real good. So it's a cult classic. Yeah, yeah. It's more like an A game there, tied to pretty much a new IP. So yeah, I guess we'll see what that leads into, because it's
I guess there's supposed to be two I think there's two DLCs coming out, which I'm all for DLCs for this game. Usually I don't buy any DLC, but I'm all for it for this game, assuming it's going to be story based missions, which I don't see why it wouldn't be. There's the ending's not I don't know, like it could end, but it could also be considered a cliffhanger in a way too.
Oh no.
So it's really good, but yeah. Anyway, Rob, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing, since the last time, I've been playing more Destiny. They just did the Solstice of Heroes thing, which you had to do certain objectives to get your Solstice gear up to Masterworked. And that was the most tedious, annoying bullshit that I've done in the game so far.
What'd you have to do? Just like run a bunch of raids or what?
No, luckily no raids. It was just like do so many patrols I think on a specific planet, so many public events, kill so many enemies with a certain type of weapon, create a certain type of elemental orb, run so many gambit matches, run so many like just like a lot of just monotonous stuff. And I know that there's a lot of people who got all three armor sets for Titan, Warlock, and Hunter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did the Warlock, and that took me about three weeks. I probably could have finished it in two.
Dang.
Probably could have finished it in about a one. But like, I just got burnt out quick on that. So I just did my Warlock, and that was it. And then there was that NVIDIA update during Gamescom, like a big update, and it kind of borked Destiny for me, and it just was a blank screen. And like I could hear audio, and I can like navigate stuff, but nothing would happen. So I was trying everything I could, and I eventually got it to work by taking it out of full screen mode by hitting Alt Enter, and then just changing it to I think borderless window or full screen special or something.
Yeah.
And then now it works fine. But I haven't really done anything since I got it working like 2 days ago. So there's that. Been playing Wolfenstein Youngblood with a friend of mine because he got a 2080. 2080 or 2070, I forget. And he got Control and Wolfenstein. And so he was like, hey, do you wanna play Wolfenstein? I was like, yeah, sure. It was one of those games I was like, yeah, I don't really know if I want to play it, but he got it, so I was like, alright, let's play.
Well, Joey, you did the review, right? Yeah, so
I did.
Yes, so yeah. The review is also up on the website too, so.
Yep.
I wanted to like it more than I did. Like we still haven't technically finished it. We're on the last boss. I wanted to like it more, but it was lacking in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I found the level up system to be kind of, well, the character level up system was fine. The weapon upgrades just felt, I don't know, weird. I didn't like the fact that certain enemies had like the two types of ammo that they have. Like there's a hollow box and a filled in box, and having to switch between like weapons to take down enemies was a pain in the ass.
That was my criticism too. Yeah.
Like it felt like it was unneeded to kind of give it more of a difficulty or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like really empty because like me and my friend did mostly all of the stuff that we could, except for like Abby's like daily missions or whatever. Because I was like, right. I'm not gonna do that shit. I don't care about that shit.
I mean, I did.
But I did some of we did most of the side missions. The only one that we haven't completed yet, was like the destroying the 12 Hitler bust.
Hitler, yeah.
We got like 11 out of 12. We haven't gone back to get the last one, but we're on the last boss, so I don't know. But it was okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible. Like, I wouldn't mind to see this concept fleshed out a little bit more. An actual full-length, like, Wolfenstein type of game with, like, co-op. Like, I love the whole, like, being able to give each other peps or perks or whatever.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the exploration aspect of it, but I definitely want to see more. So I hope it did okay, and I hope they kind of find it. I hope this isn't like a one-off thing. Disappointing, but it could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the game is just kind of there, you know? Like, it's not good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Decent.
It's not, like, it's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not,
just
like,
right in the middle.
Terrible, and I kind of want to go back and, like, play more of it, but I'm waiting for a friend of mine to finish it. The difficulty spikes are a little bit weird.
Yeah, they are.
Because, like... For the most part, throughout the game, we had like a few problems, but like we actually looked up how to defeat the final boss, just because like we couldn't figure out what to do, like a good productive way. So we just kind of looked it up, and we're gonna try it next time. We had spent like maybe an hour and a half on the final boss.
Final boss is annoying. Is what he is.
It really is. It's a pain in the ass. And, like, there's so much shit going on. And that's
the really problem. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to kind of figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when you die, like, you respawn and you try over again, but you don't get all your ammo back. So that makes, like, playing it longer more frustrating.
Man, that sounds like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which I'm actually playing too, and I'll leave that for next week. But
I legitimately forgot I was playing that game because that game sucks.
It does not suck. It's very decent and borderline. Now it's very decent and borderline. It's better than part two. Next week I'll go all in.
All right, we'll both go full in. That is gonna be no. Well, at least Cyclops and Colossus are coming out.
Yeah, soon.
Technically tomorrow. Yes. Not tomorrow.
The 30th. Yes.
Yeah.
So they'll be released before we actually do our next podcast.
Yeah. So like when they release, I'll probably play it more, and because like one of my criticisms is like you get your fucking ass kicked so easily unless you're like over leveled. So I'm hoping the Colossus and the Cyclops are a higher level and they don't start off at like level 20 or some bullshit.
They're probably gonna start off at level 1.
Well, no, because like I had gotten the fighter's pass, whatever the season pass was, and it came with a Deadpool that was level 20.
Oh, okay.
And that was like starting off. So I'm hoping they're at least like level 40 for people who've already beaten the game. But anyway, this isn't Marvel vs. Capcom. This is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 time. That's next week.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we've got so much shit to say. I legitimately forgot about it. But anyway, so while I was having issues with Destiny, which was about a week, I decided to replay Shovel Knight on the Switch because I had bought Shovel Knight Treasure Trove on the Switch like when it came out. But I had never, like, I played a little bit of, like, the Plague Knight and, the Plague Knight story, but I never really did too much of it. So I had just kind of left it there, and then I was like, I'm kind of bored. So I replayed Shovel Knight, like, the first, like, the actual, like, regular Shovel Knight campaign. I even busted open my Shovel Knight amiibo, which I had in the packaging, so I could try to use some of the amiibo support, which I did, like, once, and then...
What's the one? What's the one there with the what's the other one called? The Shovel Knight there, where you're playing with the guy with the scythe, the Shovel Knight with the scythe.
That's not Shovel Knight. That is, I legitimately thought of it. There's Plague Knight, and then there's Spectre Knight. Spectre Knight's the one with the scythe.
Yeah, that's the one I bought there when I got the Switch, and I played it for a bit there. So yeah,
Go ahead.
No, well, I was gonna say there that it's that's the only one like I played like a lot more than Shovel Knight in that sense. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess like I really don't know what to say about it, but it's like interesting
for me. Like the traversal is like you said, the traversal and like Plague Knight and Spectre Knight are a bit weird. So like it was hard for me to get into. I really do need to go and play it. I mean, I should play it now that I rebeat the first one. But I got to say that because it's been a while, because I had played it on the 3DS when that came out. It was like a blind purchase, and I loved it. I had reviewed it for the site when it came out on on the Vita and I think PS3 maybe.
Oh my god, the Vita.
And so
it means life. Yeah. Oh my god.
The Vita. And then. So I also played it, and then now on the Switch, and I will probably rebuy the Shovel Knight on PC at some point. I've been saying that forever, just so I can have it on just about everything. Although I don't have my 3DS anymore, but anyway, so it's been a little while, and what's cool is they added some new things. Like the one is called Body Swap, where you can actually change the genders of all of the enemies, Shovel Knight, Black Knight, and Shield Knight. And so I thought it was like really cool. And like some of them, like it's not like a huge change. Like there'll be like small changes. So I made all of the the Knights of No Quarter, all female. I made Shield Knight male. The Enchantress male, kept Shovel Knight male, and I think I made Black Knight male, or maybe female. I forget. But like, yeah, there was like a really cool, like, the you can actually, and you can like adjust each one. So if you want like one male, one female, like, and that was like a really cool, like a little extra thing that they added.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Plus, since I had like the Shovel Knight amiibo, you can actually create like a little fairy that follows you around. And the little fairy was a little tiny Shovel Knight. Because that's right now, that's the only amiibo that works with Shovel Knight, is a Shovel Knight amiibo. Because they're releasing the other three in December. Because they just announced that, which we'll get into a little bit later. And what's cool is, like, he doesn't do anything. He just follows you around. But he's, like, super cute because when you jump in, like, to a stage, Shovel Knight kind of puts his shovel up to the air and, like, the triumphant, like, da-da-da-da. And then a little bit afterwards, the fairy jumps in, does the exact same thing, puts the shovel up to the air, and, like, that chime is kind of, like, shifted a little bit, and so it's a little bit higher. But kind of it's the same chime, but, like, da-da-da-da, like, a little bit higher. I thought that was, like, a little attention to detail is great. Plus, when you press down on the D-pad, Shovel Knight doesn't, like, crouch. He just kind of, like, squats a little bit, so you can kind of make him dance. And when you do that, the fairy will land next to you and start doing the same thing you do, so it's kind of like dancing.
It's like
it's just like
Zelda, right?
It's just like a...
like Navi?
No. Kind of, like, but, like, a little bit more personality. Like, the little fairy will, like, try to dig up potholes and stuff, or like the little dirt mounds, but we'll get tired because it's a lot of dirt for like a little tiny fairy. It's just like a lots of, like, it was like completely unnecessary, and it's just like a lot of like extra personality that I appreciate. And it's really only available to like the amiibo thing, and like that's the only amiibo that works right now. The other ones are gonna be released in December. It's a Spectre Knight, Plague Knight, and King Knight, which all have campaigns, and I think I've pre-ordered that 3-pack on Amazon. I've had it pre-ordered, I think, since at least 2 or 3 years now, I think. It was supposed to come out, like, forever ago. But anyway, that's enough Shovel Knight. Let's go into Shovel Knight, shall we? So, today, Yacht Club Games had, like, a little tiny Shovel Knight Direct, where they announced several things. One is the final, I guess, chapter for the Treasure Trove pack, which was also something that part of the Kickstarter, King of Cards. They announced Shovel Knight Showdown and Shovel Knight Dig. And as well as, like I said, the 3-pack of amiibo of Spectre Knight, King Knight, and Plague Knight.
Well,
which is coming out in December.
I'm more excited about Shovel Knight Dig there. So, yeah, because it's pretty much like what they showed in that trailer there was like Steam World Dig. So, I'm actually excited about that one. I'm just wondering, like, how they're going to release this now and what price point they're going to release it now, just because Shovel Knight, the popularity has went up, so... I'm wondering, like, just exactly what sort of price point this game is coming out as. Again, I'm going to be totally for it. It's definitely the most interesting one out of all the Shovel Knights that they showed so far, in terms of the, you know, King of Cards there and Shovel Knight Showdown. So I'm actually interested for Shovel Knight Dig because, again, it's something a little bit different, and I know like the actual assets there are new, so yeah, it looks very very interesting to me, and so I'm excited about Shovel Knight Dig.
Yeah, Dig is made by a completely different developer. It's a 16-bit-ish roguelike that is very similar to Steam World Dig. It looks a lot of fun. The attacks are very flashy. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Necrodancer, the way whenever he swipes, it kind of like covers like a little arc in front of him. Yeah, and like that looks really good. I don't think it's gonna be too expensive. It'll probably be like $25 at most, because the regular Shovel Knight collection is about $25 anyway, with all of the extra stuff. So I don't think it'll be too much more than that, unless there's like a lot of extra stuff, which I don't.
You know, there's always Switch tech. So.
Yeah, but I think it's coming out digitally on everything. Dig. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Dig looks good. Shovel Knight Showdown is basically Shovel Knight Smash Brothers. Because if Shovel Knight can't get into Smash Brothers, may as well make your own Smash Brothers for Shovel Knight. It's kind of cool. It has like a good amount of characters. Tinker Knight is a playable character, so I'm happy. And then they have finally the last piece of the Shovel Knight pie is King of Cards. So I know there was going to be like a card, not element, but like focus with King of Cards, but it seemed like there was still a little bit of platforming. That's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to that one. Maybe after I beat the other two campaigns.
Yeah, so much Shovel Knight going around. You would think they would add him in Smash, so Showdown, I guess, covers
well,
up.
He,
so I know he's in there.
Well, he is in Smash Brothers as an assist trophy, yeah. But still. Then again, he is in everything, because I forgot that there was that indie fighter
Blade
game.
Blade Strangers.
Yes. Yeah, which I need to pick up. I just remembered about that like 2 weeks ago. It also has like Isaac from Binding of Isaac and like
all the indie crossovers there. So
yeah, I need to pick up. But yeah, I'll probably play King of Cards when it comes out. Hey, King, Lion King. Let's talk about that.
So yeah,
I'm gonna link these things as best as I can.
So yeah, I guess the Lion King and Aladdin news got leaked there. So supposedly, so this is something actually that's developing because it supposedly was shown at the GameStop manager conference there.
Conference.
Yeah. And Lion King and Aladdin, by version, games are actually, they're going to make a collection of those titles there. Now, one thing that we don't know for sure if it's going to include Capcom's version of Aladdin.
I don't think so. Last I checked, it was the Genesis version of Aladdin.
I mean, the Genesis version is dope. I get it. The Genesis version looks more like the actual, you know, cartoon and the movie, itself, but the Capcom version is like platform gold. They're not the same games. They are not the same games. The Genesis version uses the actual sword there, and it looks more like the actual movie. The Capcom version just looks more smooth, and that's the Super Nintendo version. So, I'm hoping we get the Capcom version, the Super Nintendo versions of both games, and these Genesis version of both games. That would be awesome.
Well, with how, I guess, Capcom and Disney have been lately, I'd be pretty surprising if they don't include it. However, yeah, it looks like it's the Genesis, Game Boy, and Super Nintendo versions of Lion King, and the Genesis and Game Boy versions of Aladdin.
So it's actually the Game Boy versions as well.
Yeah, it's like it's also like another version as well. So, it says it has the original soundtracks. I don't know why it would have different soundtracks, but
I mean, I don't even remember what the soundtrack sounded like.
I don't know if, like, they maybe changed something.
You know, it's so crazy. I remember the Super Nintendo versions, but I don't remember the Sega Genesis versions, to be honest. Like, I remember the Sega Genesis animations, and it looked more like the cartoon than the Super Nintendo version, but the Super Nintendo version was definitely better of the two. Yes, the Sega Genesis version gives you, you know, the sword combat there, and you were like Aladdin with the sword, but the Super Nintendo version was pretty badass in just how it pretty much flowed. You know, you had the apples there that you could throw. Yeah, and the Lion King version too, as well. So, yeah, I'm just wondering if, you know, if they have the Capcom version. I'm hoping that they do. So far, it's just a leak so far, so it's not, like, confirmed yet.
No, it's been, like announced pretty much.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, it was one of those things, like, kind of like how with the Mega Man Zero and ZX leak, eventually just said, ah, fuck it. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
It's just a version.
Comes out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's $29.99, out October 29th. For the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
Are these games that revered, or what?
Lion King game is pure booty. Lion King game is pure booty.
Yeah.
It's like, it's straight up ridiculously hard for no reason. I've never gotten past the can't wait to be king.
It's a kid's game.
But, I mean, a lot of people, like, because I never played Aladdin, I know people, like, enjoy it, but I never had
Like, Aladdin for Sega was pretty much you're playing with Aladdin with a sword. The one for Super Nintendo was more platforming, was a lot more platforming, and you had to use apples to kill enemies. So, a lot of people liked the Aladdin Genesis version because it looked like the movie. But the Aladdin with the on Super Nintendo was just platform gold. Like, it was just, like, better because Capcom made it. You see, Capcom, pretty much anything Capcom in those days were gold. And I'm a big Capcom fanboy, but I could tell you this, just any platforming game by Capcom in the 90s, they were gold. So, but yeah, it those are like the key differences between the two. The Aladdin and Super Nintendo didn't look as cartoony, but the animations were dope and they actually made sense. Like, it actually like flowed well. And then the Aladdin on Sega Genesis looked more like the actual movie and Aladdin used the sword. So the Sega Genesis one was just a simpler game. In that sense.
Mm. But like, it kind of, the fact that I didn't think about it being like a huge cross promotion, because like, they had released remakes of Aladdin and Lion King this year. It didn't like click until like a little bit after I had saw the leak. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's some cross promotion synergy right there.
Well, they came out on Steam. I know they had them on Steam.
They had pulled them on Steam, I think.
Yeah, and then they got delisted, so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll probably end up picking up the Switch version.
Yep, me too. That's
even though
that's exactly what I was thinking, the Switch version for like classic games.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's no need for it to be the PS4 version or anything. So. Unless that's kind of like what you have.
Okay, so I.
But yeah, also has some cool little extra features, which I guess we should mention real quick. You can fast forward and rewind, jump to any part of the game, and you can let the game play itself, so you can figure out how to beat a stage.
So
what?
Which is actually kind of cool if you just want to, you
That's
know,
so
enjoy
weird.
It.
It's like Final Fantasy XII.
It's a little bit weird.
I mean, I feel like that'd be super beneficial if we didn't have like the internet, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you know, you let it do its thing and it does its thing.
It just sounds kind of redundant.
Yeah. But like, they clearly know that the game is pure booty. So
yeah,
I mean that. I mean for Lion King, yeah, for Lion King, just let it play.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Although I don't know why they didn't like come out with like a full set of like Disney 16-bit games. Like they could have easily had.
Like
a Pocahontas one. There's a Jungle Book one.
The Beauty and the Beast one.
And then there was like tons of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. The Mickey Mouse ones, though. The Mickey Mouse ones are real good, but they're all made by Capcom. You see, that's what they said.
I think that the Capcom ones, like they could probably, because like they had like the Disney Afternoon collection. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make another Capcom centric Disney.
They're probably
one.
They're just gonna keep milking it, like keep coming out with two at a time.
Like you see,
they probably could, yeah.
And that's the thing.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
Then again, like who's gonna buy like Jungle Book and Pocahontas? Not many people. You know, there's not as much nostalgia for them.
Yeah, but you see, that's the freaking thing I don't understand, because they could, you know, Disney and Capcom could collaborate on that, and I'm gonna say it again. Marvel vs. Capcom should be a priority. And I know you guys hate me for that because I keep mentioning it, but that should be a priority. they could collaborate on everything, but why aren't they collaborating on that? And I still, like, it still blows my mind that that's not solved yet. So, but yeah, back to the collections. they definitely, you know, it's definitely a thing that they could keep coming out with the Capcom collections, but and two, in regards to like other properties there, because why would you get Jungle Book by itself? It should be like in a collection. In that sense, so yeah, so totally understandable on how they're, you know, doing these collections, and I hope they bring up, you know, more of them, and they could just keep milking them. I guess it's definitely a good strategy. I guess for people who, you know, just love nostalgic licensed games, and they're actually good games. That, you know, on top of that, so it does work out.
Well, I mean, like with the Capcom Beat 'Em Up collection, like that, most of those games were like pretty much a lot of people knew. Some games were never released before. So I do hope that Capcom does that. I hope they do it with some of the, like their like I guess popular games in like good bundles like that, themed bundles I guess I should say, because it's honestly a good idea. And again, it does seem like that's what they're doing with like all the Mega Man Legends or Legacy collections and stuff like that. So.
And I'm hoping they do Mega Man Legends. So that's the one.
I hope
one.
So too. Well, no. Mega Man Legends would be nice. Don't get me wrong, but I want a Power Stone collection, like for modern consoles.
I mean,
or at the very least, PC.
It was on the PSP.
That's
so
what I want.
You could get it on the Vita.
I have the PSP. I could probably play it on my PC right now because I have it ripped. But I still want like an actual like Power Stone game.
You know what? I actually don't want the ports. I want a Power Stone 3. I want a proper.
Power Stone 3 would be good, but I would be happy with Power Stone.
I want a proper Power Stone 3.
Or
I think
Rival Schools collection.
It's about time. I think it's about time for Capcom to not use Street Fighter anymore. Like, not abuse the Street Fighter property.
Oh, no, they're going to use it forever. But they need to do what SNK is doing and have use some of their, like, other video or fighting game properties to make new games.
Yeah.
Like
so,
with Sam Show.
All right. Not to
Sam Show and...
Yeah, not to get sidetracked off of that, okay? Because, again, this, like I said, anything Capcom for me would go to a whole another 40 to 45 minutes in terms of just Capcom alone, knowing that I'm a Capcom fanboy.
So you're saying anything Capcom would take you to a whole new world?
Yeah.
Shining, shimmering, splendid.
Yes. It would.
All right.
It would take me to a whole new world and make me sing pretty much every Aladdin song and every Lion King song there is. So it would definitely every Disney song, yes. So
well, you'd have to be prepared.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. I get. Let's go on to the next topic here. The next thing here, which we didn't actually talk about here, it actually happened.
Like right before Gamescom.
Yeah, right before Gamescom. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was the purchase there. Sony purchased Insomniac Games. So Insomniac Games is now officially a Sony first party studio.
And you'd think with like all of the stuff they've done for Sony, they would have bought them up years ago.
Exactly what I was about to lead into.
Maybe they tried, you know?
Yeah, exactly what I was about to lead into, because it's like, you know, it's about time.
The only thing I could think of is like they wanted their autonomy. It's like,
for sure.
They wanted to try to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. That's what Fuse was supposed to be. And then that got focus tested to hell because of EA and became Fuse. And then when they did Sunset Overdrive for Microsoft, that didn't go over too well. And then so with like Spider-Man doing so well on Sony, on the PS4, they're like, fuck it, we'll just buy them. They're like, I'm pretty sure they thought, well, you know, this is as good as it's going to be. You know, people kind of associate us with Sony. And it does seem like Sony will treat them pretty well if you know, Naughty Dog is doing well and Santa Monica is doing well, Sony Bend. So if they let them do whatever they need to, I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah. I just hope they don't turn into a just Spider-Man team.
Well, that's my only fear. Sony,
like an A team and a B team.
Yeah. Sony is pretty good with that. You see, that's the one thing. No, that's actually the one thing. Sony's pretty good with that, and Insomniac has enough staff there where they can make other titles. So, you know, one staff is gonna be doing Spider-Man. Another half of the staff is gonna be doing another game. And I'm actually very excited for Ratchet and Clank. I'm actually not too, like, I'm not too worried about Spider-Man, but I'm more excited about Ratchet and Clank, because now it's like, okay, now they'll have the budget to do an even bigger Ratchet and Clank. And when I mean bigger Ratchet and Clank, I'm meaning, you know, just like how we got that, the pretty much reimagining their Ratchet and Clank 1. Now we'll get probably something like Ratchet and Clank, A Crack in Time. Where A Crack in Time.
Like an actual new
story. Yeah, yeah. A Crack in Time focused more on platforming.
I loved A Crack in Time.
Yeah. So,
super good.
I'm very excited for that. And I'm also very excited for, I'm sorry there, things like,
Resistance, I agree.
Resistance? Okay, yeah. I was going to talk about Resistance, yes. Resistance 3.
I want a Resistance game so bad.
Yeah, I want a Resistance game, but I want it more akin to 3, and I want them to actually re-release 3. Let's give it a proper showing here, because 3 came out there during the end of its time there, where 2 kind of like drifted the series away. So I want a re-release of 3, and then I want a sequel of 3. And then even from there, like, even, like, let's say, you know, they get Resistance 3 out as a remaster.
Mm-hmm.
I actually want them to redo Fuse, because, again, they own the IP. So I want them to go ahead and take another crack at Fuse. I want them to go ahead and take another crack at Sunset Overdrive as well. I
agree with Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, I want them to, because now with Sony, like, you know, Sony is backing them now. Now they're going to be able to do whatever they freaking want. And what I noticed with, like, when Sony buys, when they buy developers is that they give them the actual freedom to do anything. So that's what I love about developers working with Sony, that they get the freedom to do anything they want. And it's not even like a test thing. And that's why I'm very critical about Microsoft's first party. And I'm very critical on Microsoft's first party. I love the idea that they're buying studios. I love that idea with Microsoft. But Microsoft is very, very focused on getting an exact, like, vision for their first party. Where Sony is more, like, laid back. They're like, okay, here's the money and do what you want. And from there, let's see how it works out. So,
I'm going to say most of the time, yes. Sometimes, no. And I'm going to say PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale as an example of what of Sony meddling.
That's definitely meddling. But a majority of the games that Sony does produce, like things like Shadow of the Colossus, if it wasn't for, like, letting the developers do what they want, we wouldn't have got Shadow of the Colossus. We wouldn't have got things like Sly Cooper. We wouldn't have got things like Ratchet & Clank. We wouldn't have got things like Medieval. Like, that's the thing. Like, Sony doesn't force developers to stick with a franchise. Like, Uncharted. Naughty Dog is now going on to The Last of Us, like, during that time. So they don't force developers to do what they need them to do or what's successful. They actually expand on the developers and let the developers mature into what they could be. So that's one thing I'm excited about there with Insomniac. That, let's say if, alright, at the end of the day, they make another Ratchet & Clank, but again, that Ratchet and Clank that they made, they had the freedom to make it how they wanted it. They have the freedom to make, if they wanted to, they could bring back Fuse if they saw that it was viable. And I honestly believe Sony would give them a chance to actually remake Fuse into something else.
Why?
Well, that's the thing. Think about what PlayStation is missing. It's missing a sort of Overwatch type game in terms of, like, multiplayer. So that's something I could see Sony, like, revisiting. Or Sunset Overdrive. Those are things, like, I could see them revisiting. Like, because it's things that they're...
Fuse just doesn't make sense, though.
Well, it's...
Like, hey, this game failed, but check out this new version of that game. Like, just make an entirely new game, you know?
Well, I can say that about Order. Like, I can say that about The Order. The Order failed, but The Order was actually
Where's the Second Order?
Yeah, it was a decent setup. You see, that's the thing. The problem. Ready at Dawn, and again, is not owned by Sony. So, again, there's a lot of things that Insomniac could work on while they're with Sony. Then
I agree. Then instead of Second, shouldn't be one of them.
It's an example. It's just an example. Like Sunset Overdrive should definitely be one of them. That's definitely something that.
Fine, you don't need them.
And again,
I wanted to like that game. I did not.
And Resistance too. Resistance is definitely something else as well. But you'll know that Insomniac with Sony, we'll see some creative things. That's the thing. That's the thing.
I mean, they have a lot of capital now, so they don't have to worry about, like, the money aspect anymore.
Well, they don't have to worry about the time because they worked with Sony. They know how to get things done in a certain time limit. So they have that already unlocked. They already know Sony. So in that sense, it's like it makes perfect sense for them to be bought by Sony. Like, it's not a strange thing. I know to some people it's surprising because Insomniac, you know, went and did their own thing. They were second party and they joined with Microsoft, made Sunset Overdrive, joined with EA, made Fuse. So, some people it's surprising, but we really look at their DNA. They worked with Sony for so long, and they made great games with Sony, especially with Spider-Man now being their biggest title.
Well, I mean, it was Sony that suggested Insomniac to the ones who do...
Exactly.
And everybody thought it should be Sucker Punch, if you remember.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely...
What is Sucker Punch doing now?
Well, Sucker Punch is doing Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely interesting. Well, it's interesting and not so surprising that Insomniac is bought by Sony. And I'm very excited to see what the future brings, because again, we'll be able to see more broader Ratchet and Clank, maybe Sunset Overdrive sequel, maybe a few sequel, which we might not even, we might not approve of now, but let's say if they just redo everything, it might actually be good. I mean, so
it's not about approving or not. It's just like nobody cares about Fuse, so why wouldn't you just make something entirely new? I mean, it could be the same idea, but I don't get why you'd use the name.
I mean,
well, it could be like maybe use the same characters, but like a different
story. A different story, a different style,
but like a different name where it's not like Fuse or Overstrike, whatever it was called. But just kind of like use the same characters, kind of.
It's kind of a reboot.
Let's say like Dragon Guard Near, but no.
Yeah, it's kind of a reboot in that sense. So it would technically be a reboot, but like people be like, oh, okay. Like, they might show off something like extremely extraordinary and it's connected to all that, Fuse or Sunset Overdrive. So.
I guess. Nobody cares about. Name one character from Fuse.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know.
Nobody cares.
No, I don't. I don't know. But let's say if they decide to reboot Fuse, and it looks completely different, and Insomniac made the first one, but this looks completely different, where it actually looks amazing, and it's not focused tested to death. But now Insomniac has full control. So that's what I mean. Like, they'll just have more control over everything, being with Sony. So
more control to create an entirely new game.
Yeah. Sure. just new IPs in general. New IPs and even expand on current IPs. So that's what I'm excited about. And that's like the difference between Microsoft and Sony there. I'm all for Microsoft buying developers, but they have to make sense. Like, they really do have to make sense, because if they don't make sense to the demographic there or to anyone on Xbox, they don't matter. So that's why I'm like very, very critical on, which first party out the big three by which developers. So that's why I'm very, very critical, because they have to make sense. Insomniac in this case makes sense. They worked with Sony in the past for years. It's in their DNA. That's their DNA. So that's why I'm very, very critical of Microsoft. I love that they're buying new developers and they're buying new studios, but they have to make sense. That's how this is going to work. They have to make sense in their demographic. To me, if they don't make sense, if it's just like a random buy, like, what does that do? And especially if they're taking 3 or 4 years to make a game, we're not seeing that product. They have to make sense. That's always been my thing, in terms of the big three buying developers. Okay, so I guess we can go ahead and move on to Gamescom, I guess. And just what was shown at Gamescom. I guess new footage of games were shown of previous games that we know already have been announced, like Death Stranding, Avengers, Dying Lights 2, Gears 5, So yeah, we could go ahead and start with Death Stranding, because I did go ahead and see this. You know, Kojima with Death Stranding did give us a bit more.
Did he?
I mean, yeah, like not really. I want to say he did, but not really. In terms of what was shown, like, he gave us a bit more of what the game is supposed to be. It's pretty much your, well, what people are calling it now in the gaming community are a walking simulator. in that sense, Kojima goes ahead and says it's more connecting, I guess, communications. We're building communications in the United States.
Stranding.
Yes, Stranding. What is it? Stranding action multiplayer game. What is it?
Stranding cinematic universe, maybe.
Yes. Yes, he's creating his own genre again.
Like, he says yes.
Yes, he's creating his.
I mean, it would not surprise me in the least if he is actually making his own genre.
Yeah, he's creating his own genre there. So, but yeah, so far, what it's still an intriguing thing, because, you know, every new trailer that, every new trailer that he shows, I have no idea what's going on. It's just Norman Reedus just walking
around with the baby,
So it's very intriguing there. What we do know so far is that you're trying to rebuild the connections there between all the bridges, what they call
from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yes, from the East Coast to the West Coast of the United States. But that's all we actually know. in that sense, so you're basically like a mailman, a delivery guy trying to like reconnect everything.
Wait a minute, is this a remake of Kevin Costner's The Postman?
I think it could be a remake of Paperboy too. Just with better graphics, but it's definitely a remake of something here, of a walking simulator of some sort. You know, but what I've seen of it so far, of what was shown at Gamescom, like, to me, it's definitely looking to be kind of like Zelda Breath of the Wild. So,
what?
Well, in just a way. No. I know, like, I know you're like questioning what, but in just a way of like, traveling and being able to like, climb everything and walking around. Like, that's how I felt Breath of the Wild was to me. To me, Breath of the Wild is pretty much a chore to play. So this game might be a chore to play. Hopefully they show more exactly what it is. So far we know that you're just rebuilding connections and communications with the United States there from east to west, and it's like a synchronized multiplayer game where Kojima is not giving like what the multiplayer aspect of the game is. So
he's not giving any aspect of what the game is.
Yeah, it. All right, yeah. Nope. So yeah, he's not giving anything. Yeah. You got it there. He's not giving anything. So this is all mysterious. And what I think the game might be, it might be like kind of like Breath of the Wild, where it's like do anything, do it your way, and you know, this is gonna be a job. You know, because I still feel like Breath of the Wild is kind of like a chore to play. It's definitely a chore to play for me.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad. For me, it's bad. It feels like work. It feels like I'm there 9 to 5 working to try to get to a mission. So it is bad. I'm hoping Kojima like gives us a bit more. He's showing us all these character videos, and
I mean, I can tell you the answer to that. No, we're not going to get anything else.
I mean,
we'll get more info, but it won't be useful.
This is gonna be tragic here, because I feel like, you know, a few months from now, when we go ahead and podcast, again,
I'm just gonna... We'll podcast in between then.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'm going to talk about how much of a chore it is. And I actually don't want it to be. I don't want it to be Breath of the Wild to me. That's going to be very disappointing to me. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting.
I mean, I'm excited for it for sure.
Yeah, like it's excitement that we don't know about, and that's scary. That's very scary.
And also exciting.
Yeah.
sometimes games come out and like, I don't know, I feel like we know so much about it. It's like, okay, well, I guess we'll just like play through this and just get it over with, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat, whereas like, and I mean, at least you probably have an idea of what type of game you're getting in a way. It's from Kojima, you know, so you have an idea. So it's not like you're just throwing money in a fire pit.
Oh no. So this is
have an idea of what it's about.
No, this is throwing money in a fire pit, I feel.
No, it's not. No.
This is throwing money in a fire pit, I feel.
No, if it wasn't by Kojima, yeah, maybe.
No, we'll see because Metal Gear Solid 5, I thought the gameplay was so. I thought the gameplay was awesome, but the story was crap. So,
and what?
The story was crap in Metal Gear Solid 5. So,
I mean, Metal Gear Solid 5 was a little uneven. Because,
the story was crap because like Konami wanted it out the door.
Yeah.
He didn't get to finish it.
Yeah, but
so
well,
but he's an expensive talent. So he kind of
he better be worth it.
Like.
Yeah, he better be worth it. No, he better be worth it.
I guess we'll get to see exactly what he's all about, you know, after this. So.
He's
got all the money, you know, all the time.
Pure,
so.
Unfiltered, uncut Kojima.
Yep.
This is 100% that.
No,
that'll be a nice long podcast.
Yeah, this story better make my head roll. Like, this...
Oh, it'll make something roll. Like, it'll make your eyes roll.
My eyes roll every time I read one of his tweets about like how he's creating a new genre and I don't know. It's just
You see, I don't trust that.
Next.
Yes. Pretty much. So another thing that was shown off at Gamescom was the first official look at the Avengers game.
With actual gameplay.
Yes, gameplay. Yeah. Yes. And what do you guys think of
that's
that?
What we think about that.
Yeah, the silence.
I mean,
it looks great. Like, I watched it on...
It looks okay.
No, it looks actually... No, I'm actually...
Spider-Man? Great.
No.
So far, how it is?
No. Graphically,
I'll die on this hill.
Graphically, Avengers the game looks phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
The trailer, the trailer, I saw it on my 4K TV. And the trailer looks phenomenal on my TV. So the game looks great. Now,
the game looks great. Design-wise, game is lacking.
There we go. That's exactly what I was trying to get at there. Technically, the game looks great. 4K visual resolution, great. Style-wise and design-wise, that's where the game is like, meh.
Leaves a bit to be desired.
Well, it looks like every other typical AAA game. Like, it's like literally copy and paste of every AAA game. Like,
kind of.
There's been a lot of good AAA games, I feel, recently, though.
Well.
But go on.
Yeah. Because God of War is. Like, yeah. God of War is its own thing.
Thor part looks like God of War. The Black Widow part looks like Tomb Raider. The Hulk part looks like just fucking Hulk. Smashing everything.
Well, that's one good thing about the gameplay trailers. It looks like each Avenger plays differently, and it's
like its own style.
Yeah, like it's like, and it makes sense. It's all congruent, but they all play differently, which is a good thing because that way they don't feel too samey.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like they're in completely different games. So that's all like really really cool. I do kind of wonder what. Because like all they've shown so far is pretty much the intro of A-Day and I want to see where it goes from there. Because, like, they've been saying stuff about, like... I can't remember if they've been saying it or if the rumors about how there was supposed to be other Marvel characters that show
well,
up.
Well, yeah, Miss Marvel is actually...
Kamala Khan does show
yeah,
up.
Yeah. So she's actually, like,
but I mean, like,
it, so... And Ant-Man.
Yeah, like, the rumor has it that she's supposed to be the one who actually gets the Avengers back together after A-Day. So, but then again, like, there's the rumors of, I keep saying rumors, the stuff about how it's, that they want to keep supporting the game with other characters. So I'm kind of curious to see how that'll work out.
Well, Ant-Man is supposedly another character already. That's the thing. Because when,
yeah.
You know, when it was shown at E3, Ant-Man was revealed, Kamala Khan was revealed, Miss Marvel. So, yeah, that's also a thing I'm interested in, too, as well. Because let's see how far this is going to get supported. Is this going to be like the Beast Avengers game where they're going to try to get everyone in with DLC and this ports over to, like, PS5 and the new Xbox? That would be, like, awesome if it's, you know, if that's the case.
Well, like, I don't know. They said they're going to support it, and they're like, oh, we're not going to have any loot boxes and stuff. But I'm like, I'm calling shenanigans.
Well,
they're gonna pull some shit. They're going to pull some shit. I know they're going to pull
some
shit.
Well, yeah, it's always shenanigans with license-based games. Like, Battlefront was
shenanigans. Well, not even license-based games. It's a Square Enix game. It is a license-based game. And I know they're just waiting for, like, a way to get people hooked.
Well, they could do loop. You know what? I'm okay.
Don't even say it.
No. This is what I'm okay with. I'm okay with cosmetic things. I'm totally fine with cosmetic things. I don't mind it. If we could buy cosmetic things, I don't mind it. When it comes to things like characters, I don't want to be locked to loot boxes. I want to be able to purchase DLC for characters. If that's the case. And they did mention that the characters were going to be free, right?
I think so. I know they mentioned, like, other the characters are, like, the story chapters or something like
that.
Yeah, it's
going to
be,
so,
like, free.
So,
but, see, like, the problem I have with, like, the costumes or whatever being DLC, is if I just have this feeling that they're gonna have, like, these redesigned costumes in the game, and then to get the regular costume, the character's regular costume, you have to pay money for it. Kind of like the opposite of what they did with Spider-Man, where, like, yeah, they redesigned his costume, but I feel like most people, after they got the option, they changed it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I kind of feel like it's gonna be, like, opposite. Like, I don't know. I'm very skeptical about what Square Enix is gonna do with the Avengers, especially since, like, they have shown off still very little. Like, this Avengers gameplay impressed me a little bit more than the last gameplay or the last video that they had. I still have that nagging feeling, like, that in the back of my head, that they're gonna fuck this up somehow. They're gonna fuck it up. If they don't, then, you know, I will happily eat that crow. But they're gonna fuck this shit up.
Okay,
100%.
Get ready to eat that crow.
I will eat it. I will eat it dry. I will eat it steamed.
We're gonna have this on video.
Baked.
We're gonna have this on video. For our fans here.
I will record a video saying, like, if Avengers is good and they don't do any completely predatory or bullshitty post-monetization thing. Now, like I said, it's I feel like it'll be okay if they're like, okay, here's, like, a pack of 5 costumes or, you know, like, a few bucks. That's fine. But, like, I don't know. I just got this bad feeling, man. It's gonna go down. It's gonna go down.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't come out till what, like, middle
May.
Of 2020? Yeah, so.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's still a lot of time to...
Yeah, there's a lot of time. Like, I'd be surprised if they don't have anything for the Video Game Awards.
Wait, where's that? So, December, yeah?
Yeah, yes, December. December. I'd be surprised if they don't have anything for that.
Yeah, for sure.
To show off, so... Yeah, there's like a lot of time and a lot of things they can fuck up. So. We'll see.
I'm kind of still just shocked on that. Like, there's not a lot of info at all on it.
Yeah, like they for the most part like kept the because usually with Square Enix they will, well, okay, they did announce the game like years ago,
yeah.
And like I know everyone for years was like, "Where's Avengers? Where's Avengers?" I'm like, and I knew it was like, yeah, they'll take their time with it. They're gonna announce it when they're ready, but the fact that it comes out relatively soon is pretty surprising. Like it's just what, yeah, just
9 months
from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was hoping they'd have more to show.
Yeah. They've been pretty, like, tight-lipped with it. So I don't know if they're, like, showing it off slightly and tweaking stuff as they get feedback or...
Yeah, who knows.
It also wouldn't surprise me if it gets delayed a little bit once it gets closer.
Mm-hmm.
Like the holidays next year or something.
Yeah. That's one thing. I'm actually surprised how much our next game we're talking about, Dying Light 2, has showed. 26 minutes of, like, legit gameplay. Straight gameplay, 26 minutes. Did you guys watch it or no?
I think I ended up did. I think I did.
Yeah, I seen a little bit of it.
I don't know if I watched the whole thing, but I think I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah. I actually reviewed Dying Light when
it came out. Yeah, when it did come out, yes.
So did I,
so
I think.
3 years ago?
Yes.
3 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Really good game in itself, that's for sure. It was kind of like a sleeper hit, too. A lot of people weren't expecting much from it, because that's when Dead Island, I think, was on everybody's mind, and then...
Yeah, Dead Island 2...
Who knows what happened in that
game.
Yeah,
Dead Island 2 is, like, pretty much up in the air, you know?
I saw like a presentation of it when the E3 I went to, which was like 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, like,
and there hasn't been word of that game since.
Yeah, that one's just dead, pretty much. Dead Island 2 is
but
like dead.
Anyway, Dying Light 2, like, I definitely recommend go watch the full 26 minutes. It looks awesome. It looks a lot of. Obviously everything we loved from like Dying Light, so like the parkour aspects are obviously still there, weapons got big upgrades, but it's hard to tell from the trailer or the gameplay how much it would actually change the story. But at one point you have to go up to the colonel and get like release the dam to release water to everybody else, so you have the choice to release it or not to. In the gameplay demo, they did release the valve so everybody could get water. But then under that water, there was a city and it was full of zombies. So that's why it was flooded. And the colonel knew that, but your character didn't know that. So I'm curious, like, if you didn't decide to take all that water for the city and then it wouldn't expose the city that was under the water. Like, is it that drastic, the story change? Or is it like a lot of, you know, quote unquote choice based stories where, like, dialogue slightly different, you know?
Hmm.
I'm hoping that they're bigger departures instead of that same thing still happening just a different way, because those are just kind of cop outs for like what it sounds like they're trying to do. So I'm super excited for it. My computer won't be able to run it. It'd look like a slideshow. But I'm so excited for it.
Well, that's what you can always play it on consoles. So it's probably going to be PS5. At this point, I feel like it's probably going to be like a cross-gen sort of
monster. Maybe. Just like going back to like playing things on PC and PS4, I've been playing a lot on, before Control, I was playing a lot on my PC. It's so hard to go back to console after.
Oh, it really, really, really is.
I didn't believe people when they're like, oh, the aiming's so much easier. I was like, no. And then I started playing PC a lot. I can't aim on controllers to save my life.
You see, and I'm mostly on console. You guys are on PC, but when I had, you know, my PC was current, I loved playing on my PC just because of the settings. So, but I'm now a console gamer.
More control
and
everything.
You have more control. There you go. Control.
I mean, that game wasn't too bad, even though there was, the fighting sequences are you're using your service weapon that turns into other weapons, or in combination with like your abilities and stuff. And like the auto aim, I felt like in that was like just enough where it like kind of knew where you were going without snapping to it. A lot of games just snap to it or snap past it, and it's super annoying. But slight segue, it's not on the list, I'm gonna talk about it anyway. The new Call of Duty just had an alpha. It was a 2v2 mode, and it was actually really, really good. This is the first time I'm legit excited for a Call of Duty game, probably in about since the original Black Ops. But yeah, Call of Duty, I'm buying it.
I think the last Call of Duty game I bought or anything was 3? Black Ops 3? I didn't even play much of that. So, but then again, I don't really play multiplayer. I hate playing multiplayer in Destiny.
Do you?
I absolutely hate it.
What is it, the Crucible?
Yeah, Crucible. But this week they're doing the Iron Banner, which is their...
Oh, right. I remember from Destiny 1.
Regular thing. Yeah, so I played a lot of it last Iron Banner, just because I was doing something else, and like it was going on at the same time. So yeah. I just ended up playing, I think one day, like maybe 4 hours of straight Iron Banner.
Dang.
Yeah, I was very tired by the end. But I was doing like some quests.
Yeah, I used to love Call of Duty. I mean, Call of Duty 4 multiplayer. Yeah. I remember in college, like that's all we would do.
Modern Warfare, yeah.
Go to class and just do that, yep. And then this one, I honestly don't remember how that one feels. That was so long ago, but this game feels good. Like the graphics look good, it runs well, and the guns sound amazing. So it was just the 2v2 mode, which is kind of rough when you're playing if you're playing without a mic, which a lot of people always are.
I mean,
especially since the arena's small, and I mean,
I don't play with a mic anymore.
Average time is like 13 seconds.
I only play with the mic with people I know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but like for a mode like this, you kind of have to have some kind of communication.
I mean, I still play Rainbow Six, so the Siege.
Without a mic?
Well, no, I play with my mic for Rainbow Six Siege, okay. But even then, I barely say anything. But I'm surprised there's like kids playing the game, so. Oh my god, it reminds
me. You're surprised what?
It reminds me of the Xbox 360 days, the early 360 days where like a bunch of kids.
Why?
It's just literally like a bunch of kids cursing at each other on Rainbow Six Siege.
Go play Overwatch. if you want to be yelled at, go play Overwatch.
That's why I usually mute all that, you know, all that stuff, so.
I usually do an Overwatch too.
Speaking of Overwatch, this was leaked. We may as well talk about this because, like, it may be announced soon. But
maybe,
yes, Overwatch might be coming to the Switch. There was a on Amazon a listing for an Overwatch themed Switch case, and so a lot of people are thinking that Overwatch will be coming to the Switch. So. It seems like it's very heavily implied that that's going to happen. Not so much that, oh, it might happen.
I feel like that'd be so weird to play it on a Switch.
Really? I feel like it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, too outlandish because... I mean, it's not too outlandish considering, you know, the Switch has Fortnite. It has Realm Reborn. I feel like there's another one I'm missing. But it has, like, those type of games. So it wouldn't surprise me.
And it has Paladins as well, so that's
Paladins, that was the other one. Yeah. So like that stuff kinda makes sense for Overwatch, and they may have been waiting to see, you know, how things were like. But like, I don't know, I feel like at this point it's a little bit too late. Only because like I feel like a lot of people have already picked their platform of choice, and you know they've already amassed a collection of skins and stuff like that there. why start over on the Switch?
Unless they allow you, for whatever reason, to like transfer your... It's account-based and not like platform-based, you know?
If they do that, or at the very least, like, sync it... Because I don't know if there's a way to sync, like, the... I don't know, maybe, like, the Xbox and the PS4 versions, like, your account and stuff like that. But... Like, yeah, it would be nice, at the very least, like, the PC version, because I've been playing on PC, and if the PC version does have, like, an account sync where I could play, you know, keep or transfer my skins over, then I'll probably end up picking it up. If it doesn't, no, I don't really care. It's not like Diablo 3, where, like, you can play it on any platform, and it doesn't really matter, because not too much stuff transfers over, if anything at all. So... Like, it's kind of interesting to see where that's going, and the supposed Nintendo Direct coming right before TGS, like, rumored next week. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say about Overwatch on Switch.
Just so everyone remembers, I didn't bring up Overwatch this podcast.
Yes, yeah, so...
That's true.
Yeah. It's not me.
Very true.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, we're going to end it off with that. Yes, Joey didn't bring up Overwatch this podcast.
Nope.
So we're definitely going to end it off with that. Yeah, so we're closing the floodgates. we're closing the vault, as I like to say. So you could, guys, definitely check us out there on, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Also subscribe to us there on Spotify and iTunes as well as Stitcher. So we're pretty much on every podcast directory there. So definitely subscribe to us there. So when we do have a new episode release, you'll be the first ones to get those episodes there. And yeah, we're going to try to get these podcasts back up and running, as we had issues there with our site there June and July. So definitely thank you guys there for still supporting us, and we'll see you next week here with the next podcast there. So yes, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Catch on the flip side.